to God, lover, beloved, and love. Deserts and boats. Places of desolation, vessels of anxiety. The spiritual life is a life full of deserts and boats. Our gospel story is a weird one. In fact, not really a story at all. For some reason, the powers that be gave us two separate sections of the Gospel of Mark. Four verses that precede a very exciting story, and four verses that concludes another very exciting story. But, strangely enough, the two exciting stories themselves are withheld from us. The first part of our gospel reading, verses 30 to 34, describes everything that leads up to the famous story of the feeding of the 5,000, but stops short of telling it. The second part of our gospel reading, verses 53 to 56, describes everything that follows the famous story of the storm at sea and Jesus walking on water, but withholds the story itself. For those who would like to know why this is the case, why we have the verses that lead up to the feeding of the 5,000 and the verses that follow the storm at sea, but not the stories themselves, this is why. Mark is a very short gospel, and a whole year dedicated to it kind of stretches it a bit thin. So, to flesh it out a bit, portions of the Gospel of John are interspersed throughout the year. Beginning next week, and for 5 weeks, we will listen to the entirety of John chapter 6, which is John's version of the feeding of the 5,000 and John's version of the storm at sea. Today's gospel reading from Mark serves as a sort of introduction to John 6, which allows me today to focus on some larger themes than the goings-on in those particular stories. Makes sense, right? And you know what? Here's an idea. This week, to prepare for the next 5 weeks, I encourage you to pick up your Bibles and read John chapter 6 in its entirety. It is in my top 5 favorite sections of Scripture, and I think it could become a favorite of yours too. Again, we won't be hearing the story of the feeding of the 5,000 this morning, only the bit leading up to it. And we won't be reading the story of the storm at sea and Jesus walking on the water, just the verses that follow. But even though this is a great disappointment to us all, for they really are great stories, we do get to spend some time talking about the spiritual life under two themes: deserts and boats. Places of desolation, vessels of anxiety. The spiritual life is a life full of deserts and boats. In the first section of our gospel today, verses 30 to 34, Jesus gathers his friends together and invites them to come with him to a deserted place, or a desolate place, a dry, dusty, uninhabited place. A strange invitation, to be sure. Now, I'm about to embark on a holiday to the Shuswap, and while there is an abundance of water there, it is really very dry at this time, dangerously so. Wildfires are raging through the province because it is so dry. One town has been devastated because of the dryness. How many more will suffer the same fate this season? God willing, no more. But I'm not going on my holiday to Sorrento in the Shuswap because it is a dry place. I'm going because it is a place full of abundance, lakes, wine, family, friends. I'm going to rest in beautiful Shuswap and take my holiday there, without too much concern that I will not find the water I need, the food I need, the shelter I need, the community I need to be comfortable. Jesus, in our reading this morning, does not invite his friends to the Shuswap. He does not invite his friends to an Anglican retreat center or an all-inclusive resort. He invites them to a deserted place, a desolate place, an uninhabited place. I wonder, would you go? I wonder if you've ever experienced a desert time in your spiritual life. A time when nothing about God or the church or Jesus or prayer makes any sense. Maybe you are in a desert right now. A lot of the spiritual nourishment we used to provide at the parishes here has not been available now for a very long time. We have not shared communion for a very long time. I wonder if you are hungry for the bread of life. Prayers for healing with the anointing of oil has been put on hold. I wonder if you crave that spiritual touch. Coffee hour and the many other in-person social and prayer opportunities have been paused for over a year. I wonder if you long for those moments of togetherness. Messy church and children's programming has been stopped for over a year. In Lent of 2020, Jesus invited us all into a deserted place, a desolate place. And we are still wandering. I wonder how you are holding up. I wonder if you are enjoying your rest, your pause from the life that preceded the pandemic. Come away to a deserted, a desolate place all by yourselves and rest for a while, Jesus says to his friends. Again, this is not the vacation sort of rest. This is not the shoe swap rest. Rather, it is a time of deliberate pause. Come away and pause, Jesus tells his friends. Come and stop. I wonder what it would take for you to pause, for you to stop. Unfortunately, it is often only in desert places, desolate places, uninhabited places where we do pause or do stop. For the simple reason that there is nothing to do in such places but to pause. But to stop. I never plug my computer and phone and tablet in when there are no outlets to plug them into. The spiritual life needs desert places, places where everything we know becomes turned on its head. Everything we have done becomes unimportant. Everything we believe becomes questioned. Everything we hold on to gets left behind. Desert. Desolate places are not recreational places. They are not fun, but they are necessary. And if the wise ones who put the lectionary together would just allow us to peek at the great story that comes after verse 34 of Mark chapter 6, we would understand why. But they've kept that hidden for today. So I must too. Deserts and boats, places of desolation, vessels of anxiety, the spiritual life is a life full of deserts and boats. The spiritual imagination of our ancestors saw water as the place of chaos over which we float up and down in a seasick sort of existence. There is no better story told than the ancient story of Noah and his family floating over the storms of life, longing for a world without violence and evil. I wonder if life has ever made you seasick. I wonder if you get seasick when you read the news of war, political upheaval, the effects of climate change, or experience fractured relationships, or face an uncertain future. Now, God always provides boats to float over the chaos. Noah had the ark. The followers of Jesus had their ship. Christians have the church. But boats sometimes heighten the sense of instability rather than diminish it. I sometimes get seasick in this boat called the church. Isn't the church God's great family set out to do great and marvelous things in the world? Isn't the hope of the world in the hands of the faithful followers of Jesus? Yes, yes, of course, but then I feel the ship called the church lurch and it creates, as it creates residential schools. I begin to feel sick to my stomach as I read of historical abuses of power. I lean over the edge of the boat, green in the face, as I wonder if the church has done any good over its 2,000 years. Has anything got better? Ooh! I wonder if you have ever been on a boat in choppy water. You can get used to it, certainly, get your sea legs and all that, but at first boats seem very unstable and uncertain and merely floating coffins. Help us, Jesus! Can't you see we're dying? There is a story in the Gospel of Mark, one that precedes the last four verses of our reading today, that describes this, but I'm not going to tell it. Rather, I am here to tell you the good news that the boat God gives you to travel over life's uncertainty, life's chaos, will get you where you need to go. The story of how that journey goes is for another time, but today we can rest assured that Jesus' followers made it to the other side of their chaos in their boat and continued their life in a whole and complete way. I don't know all the chaos you are facing, I know some. But if the theme of boat that we get in our reading today encourages us in any way, it is to remind us that we will make it to the other side. We will land at our destination. We will end a troubling journey and be able to move on from it. We will be able to confront religious abuse and get through it. We will be able to faithfully pursue reconciliation and find it. We will be able to get through a pandemic and meet together again for wine and coffee and all the things we have left behind. We will. Deserts and boats. Places of desolation, vessels of anxiety. The spiritual life is a life full of deserts and boats. If you are in a desert today, pause. If you are in a boat today, do not despair. Out of the pause will emerge a great story, greater than the desert you find yourself in. And from the boat, you will emerge able to carry on your life, perhaps in a new, but always in a fulfilling place. This is the hope of our strange reading this morning. This is the invitation of Jesus Christ, our friend and our helper. Amen.